The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew 1. I'm reading this morning from the NIV version. We'll do Matthew 1, 18 through 25, and then have some reflections on God's Word. Matthew 1, 18. All right. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. Or some versions say the origin of Jesus, the Messiah, was like this. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. One translation says, because he was a righteous man. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. There is a wonderful comedian named Nate Bargatze. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's all over the interwebs and TV, clean as a whistle and very, very funny. And I saw this week where he had done a Christmas special in Nashville. And the scene of this particular sketch that I saw is the nativity. And there is the manger and Mary and Joseph and the baby and three wise men and some shepherds. And Nate Bargatze comes on all of a sudden as an angel of the Lord. And he shows up and they remark, what a glorious event that God has sent his very messenger to speak to us. What would you have us know, angel of the Lord? And Bargatze says, I am here to herald this marvelous event and to tell you how this night will be celebrated for years to come. Oh, thank you for that. We thank you. He said, first of all, people in the future will commemorate this night by cutting down a pine tree and putting it in their house. And one of the wise men said, a pine tree? Why? And he goes, no one knows. And they will decorate this tree with beautiful ornaments made of glass and tinsel, and they will reflect all kinds of colors. And one of the other wise men said, what else will be placed on the tree? And Bargatze says, garbage. Garbage that your children make at school out of construction paper and glitter. And Mary says, how much glitter? And he says, all of it. And then he says, that's not all. This Yuletide season will be commemorated by many, many songs. And the third wise man says, what does Yuletide mean? And Bargatze says, no one knows. And Mary says, songs, tell us more about the songs. He said, oh yes, there will be so many Christmas carols and songs, and they will be about you, wise men, and you, shepherds. And Mary, there will be many, many songs about you. And Joseph says, what about me? Will there be carols about me? And the angel says, there will be songs. And Joseph looks very crestfallen. That got me to thinking this week about how many Christmas carols and songs there are about, well, everybody in the Christmas story, especially Mary. Can you just give me some titles of Christmas carols that either are about Mary or have Mary in it? Can you come up with some? The Magnificat. That's the one. Yes. I liked Mary, Did You Know, the first like 8,000 times it was sung, but you know. Any others? Gentle Mary laid her child. What child is this? Talks about Mary. Even Silent Night. Songs even about the wise men and the shepherds also have Mary in them. Now, here's the hard part. Can you name me hymns, carols, Christmas songs about Joseph?
Carol of Joseph.
Well, she just spoiled the whole message. And tell me, this is a traditional Christmas carol dating back ages and ages?
5 years.
5 years old. See, it doesn't count. Doesn't count. Okay, so she did come up with one. Yes, is there another one? A Strange Way to Save the World. And is that a traditional carol that stretches back ages and ages? No, okay. That's the only one I could come up the top of my head. Well, I'm actually, all kidding aside, I'm enormously glad that more songs have been written more recently about Joseph. But the truth is, the tradition of carols and songs about Joseph, there just aren't that many. I found these really lovely examples. I got on the interwebs this week and searched, how many traditional carols are there and Christmas songs about Joseph? And ChatGPT said, no one knows. But I did find three, and they're really lovely. Do you know Dear Saint Joseph, Pure and Gentle? I didn't know it, but it's lovely. It says, Dear Saint Joseph, pure and gentle, guardian of the Savior child, treading with the Virgin Mother Egypt's deserts rough and wild. He who rested on your bosom is by countless saints adored. Prostrate angels in his presence sing hosannas to their Lord. And the chorus is, Hail Saint Joseph, spouse of Mary, blessed above all saints on high. When the death shades round us gather, teach us how to die. It's an interesting idea. Key words, pure, gentle. Here's another one, and it's the one I thought of, really the only one I came up with off the top of my head. Joseph, dearest, Joseph mine. Joseph, dearest, Joseph mine, help me cradle the child divine. God reward thee and all that's thine in paradise. So praise the Mother Mary. He came among us at Christmastide in Bethlehem. Men shall bring him from far and wide, love's diadem. Jesus, Jesus, lo he comes, and lo he saves and frees us. Key words, Joseph dearest, Joseph mine. Those are tender words. Here's another one called Joseph Was an Honest Man, and I didn't know it, and it's really, really interesting. It talks about some of the characteristics of Joseph, which is where I want to go today. Joseph was an honest man. He pleased the Lord in all his ways because he was an honest man, and God said, I am choosing you because you are an honest man to care for the one who will bear my son because you are an honest man. Each of the verses then picks out another attribute. Joseph was a faithful man. He kept the trust the Lord had given. Joseph was a working man. He labored as a carpenter. Joseph was a praying man. He walked with God each single day. Joseph is a helping man. He rescues those who turn to him. So honest, faithful, working, praying, helping, all of those key words. We don't know a whole lot about Joseph, although that's not really a good enough reason for him getting less time in Christmas carol collection than the shepherds. Even the lowing cattle and the friendly beasts get more tune time than Joseph, it seems. There's even a donkey carol. I know somewhere Joseph is scratching his head about that one. He's obviously a central character in the Christmas narrative, but the last time he appears in the Bible is Luke 2, during that Passover visit to Jerusalem. They take Jesus to Jerusalem when Jesus was 12, and Joseph and Mary find him in the temple teaching. You remember the story. That's the last time Joseph appears on the scene. And after this, with him gone, some scholars believe he died sometime maybe between Jesus' youth and then the time that Jesus is in public ministry. What we do know about him, though, is helpful in getting a picture of the man. Even in our passage this week, he doesn't utter a word, but we can pick up on several things to help us understand what kind of person Joseph was. I'd like to go back through our Bible text and highlight a couple of things for you, point out some things I think are wonderful about Joseph and that we ought to remember about him. And I'm thinking that we really need Joseph. He's an important part of the story. He's an important part of the gospel story, and we need more people like him, especially these days. First of all, Joseph is righteous. Write that one down, righteous. He's also one not to hold a grudge. Think about the way he decided not to disgrace Mary publicly when he found out that she was pregnant. Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. And by the way, I should say that the way marriage works in that culture is that when you are pledged to be married, you are actually technically married at that point. And they had not yet come together. That means that they had not come together to have children. But she was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. 19, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, there it is, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Did you notice that? Righteous, what does that mean? It means doing what's right in God's eyes, being in right standing with God, reflecting God's character through actions and attitudes, having a heart that's aligned with God's divine law, embracing justice, having integrity, holy living. The Bible suggests that these were characters of Joseph, the husband of Mary, that I think we can pick up even from that little bit right there. Do you know somebody like that in your life? I'll bet you're thinking of somebody who embodied those things, heart aligned with God's law, encompassing justice, integrity. We need fathers and brothers and uncles and friends, men like that. We need Joseph. We need Joseph in our lives. Next, when the angel of the Lord comes to him in a dream, he does what God wants. He's a righteous person, and so Joseph's righteous nature gets expressed in obedience. Let me show you what I mean. If you look at the last half of verse 20, we learn this. Joseph, son of David, said the angel, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then comes the obedience. Look at verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Have you ever noticed, it's worth highlighting, that Joseph is told to give the name and Joseph does the naming? That's precious. It's part of the culture, but it's a beautiful thing to remember, I think. Very simple. He did what the angel commanded. It's beautiful. He took Mary home. They're technically married, but the bride hasn't yet come to the groom's home. Remember, the groom, after the marriage certificate is given, the pledge, the promise, the covenant made, the groom goes off to prepare a place. And then the bride is brought to that place. So he does what the angel commanded. He brings Mary home. He did not consummate the marriage at that time, and he gave the boy the name Jesus. All of it. Joseph did just as the angel had commanded. Now I want you to think a minute about what kind of sacrifice that was, what kind of radical obedience that had to be. In the time of Joseph, that obedience is going to look very suspicious to the people around that little family. I know we've talked about that before. You've speculated about it. Can you imagine what was stirring around in the village? The public was very likely not to believe the story. An angel? Are you kidding? A miraculous conception? Really? I can only begin to imagine the gossip, perhaps even ridicule, that was so hot and heavy in the village. That's my speculation. It's also speculation to say, I'm wondering if Joseph was really glad to get out of Bethlehem. We get to leave. That's going to be good. So put yourself in Joseph's sandals. Would you make the same choice? Would your righteousness then extend to radical obedience? Joseph's faithfulness was risky and maybe even daring. Think about this. His willingness to obey God meant that he was willing to become an outcast with Mary for the sake of a huge promise. That's so good, I'm going to say it again. His willingness to obey God meant that he was willing to become an outcast with Mary for the sake of a huge promise. And the size of that promise is so huge, it extends to more than for him and for Mary. It was a promise for all people. In other words, Joseph was willing to trust. He was willing to trust and obey, not only for his sake, but for the sake of others. Ever think about that? Obeying God is hard stuff sometimes. But here's a place where an angel shows up, and not only does Joseph say yes, but he continues to do so, and he does it not only for himself, but for others. I'm grateful that he was obedient. And finally, I want you to think a minute about the cooperation with God that Joseph modeled. I hadn't really thought about this one before. All of this was surely daring and risky for Joseph. But did you ever consider it being kind of risky for God too? Here's another place that God would lean in to our humanity. Like the call of Abraham to get up and go. Go to a foreign place. You don't even know anybody or anything. Go and do this thing. Why? So that not only you, but other people would be blessed, all nations. Or what about that incredible event in the Old Testament where God relied on Moses to see the burning bush and to go over and to receive that word and that command? And Moses does it, not only for himself, not only obeying in a way that would obviously change his life, but doing it for the sake of others. God had a bigger plan. Or what about Israel's prophets all those years delivering messages that the people or the kings especially did not want to hear? God is relying on the cooperation of humans as he leans in. And Joseph got a call. Joseph received a call. It was a call to cooperation. It was a call to bless the nations. And God takes a risk of inviting Joseph into his work. And Joseph said yes. And have you ever thought about this? Joseph's yes is not very different than Mary's yes. It's a yes of trusting. It's a yes of obedience. It's a yes of assuming that God knows best. What a marvelous example. Joseph's cooperation, one more thing, was a long-term commitment. Moses's was too. Mary certainly was. Look at verse 24 again. It says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. There is so much packed in the words, he did. That changed the course of his whole life. And at the very least, it affected his immediate future drastically. We know that he did the whole Bethlehem to Egypt to Nazareth grand tour. Do you ever think about the time commitment? It takes 4 to 7 days to travel to Bethlehem. They stay in Bethlehem about 2 years. Then a couple of weeks travel to Egypt, and they stay there roughly 3 years. And then they travel a few weeks back to Nazareth. Think about that time commitment. Joseph's yes meant a long-term time commitment. Marvelous stuff. Do you know somebody like that? We need more people like that. I'm grateful to God for Joseph, for his long-term cooperation. We need more Josephs in our life. So in this year's lectionary reading for the fourth Sunday of Advent, we get Joseph's example of human cooperation instead of Mary's. What do I mean by that? The 3-year cycle of lection readings focus to a large extent on Mary and Mary's cooperation with God, her saying yes. In this particular year, we get to take a look at Joseph's yes, his example of human cooperation instead of Mary's. And Joseph surely doesn't get the Christmas Carol representation that she does. But here's one more thing to consider about Joseph's long-term cooperation with God's story. And I've pondered this before, and I did a little work on it this week. Jesus's connection to David comes through Mary, but it also comes through Joseph, too. Remember, there's a promise. It's called the Davidic Covenant. It shows up in 2 Samuel. And it says that, and it's a promise from God, that an heir of David would be on the throne forever and ever, an everlasting covenant that a descendant of David would be on the throne. The ultimate fulfillment of that promise is in the person and work of Jesus. So how is it then, therefore, Jesus has a connection to David? Well, there are two of them. Luke's gospel traces Jesus' lineage through Mary, showing that he's a direct descendant of David through Nathan, one of David's sons. So there's a biological tracing out of a lineage, a family tree. But Matthew's gospel traces Jesus' line through Joseph, linking him to David's royal line through Solomon. And that establishes Jesus as a legal heir to David's throne. Isn't that interesting? And that little notion of adoption, that little detail, is an easy one to miss. In other words, God's redemptive work included a promise of a long-term commitment that comes through Joseph. Jesus is not only the biological descendant of David, but he's also a legal heir as well. Why? Because Joseph said yes to adoption. So, Joseph is a model in many, many ways. He was an honest and faithful, working, praying, and helping man. Yeah? And he deserves, I think, even more Christmas songs and carols. And he also deserves our deep admiration and deep appreciation. He said yes, and he cast aside any claims that he had, what he could have done, what he had every right to do. He put that aside. And he cooperated with God for the long haul that would also benefit many, many other people. He was gentle. He was pure. And you know what? All that reminds me of Jesus. What a wonderful influence Joseph must have been on that young boy. We need more Josephs. We need more dads and brothers, uncles, friends who are like Joseph. We need a Joseph in our lives. Let's pray. Sometimes, Lord, we might overlook Joseph. Well, I want to pause and give you thanks for him, for the wonderful and selfless way that he said yes to you, that he cooperated with you for the sake of others. Thank you, Lord, that he stepped in and cared for Mary and adopted the boy. And this Christmas, Lord, I pray that you will help us to be more like him, that we'll look for places where we can cooperate with you, where we can be humble, where we can set aside our own rights and obey even for the long haul. This morning we give you thanks for Joseph. We pray all of these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.